Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
The end of an era at the Fed. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joe Krause, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here as always. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And Chief Growth Officer Mark Beck on the show. Hey, Mark.
Hey, the end of the era at the Fed. Brian, how many eras have you personally been through as you've been in this career?
That's a great question. So I
put you on the spot with
that. No, I recall when Alan Greenspan was made Fed chair. That was in 1987. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, 6 to 8 months later, you hit that big October crash of the market. It wasn't his fault. I'm not blaming him
right.
But that kind of left a mark. So you had Alan Greenspan, and then you had Ben Bernanke. Shortly after Ben Bernanke took over, you had the global financial crisis. I'm not blaming him, but you know, maybe he could have done a little bit more ahead of time. Then we had Janet Yellen. She became Fed chair. And then we had Chair Powell. And now we have Kevin Warsh. So I guess he's my fifth.
Greenspan was the last of maybe what I would call the opaque Fed, where you really didn't know until the meeting time what they were thinking. And it's progressed from that point to a very transparent Fed now, where you get a lot of insight along the way. How do you feel Kevin Warsh is going to be following that path?
Yeah, he might want to walk that back a little bit. I think we almost have too much of a good thing in his mind about too much communication, because you can get competing messages. And I believe his view is to, they can almost talk themselves into a corner, because if you talk about a certain view, then you feel like you almost have to kind of follow through on it. You start defending it, and he wants some more optionality as you go into those meetings. Funny thing is, with the Fed transparency, February 1994 is the first time the Federal Reserve released a policy statement after one of their meetings, because as you pointed out, it used to be you had to see what was going on in the markets to figure out what they actually did, what was their decision in terms of affecting rates. So they would just decide, do it, and then eventually have some sort of announcement. February 1994, there was actually a big market sell-off after their statement came out, because like reading through the statement, it was, they would have been further off saying nothing, because it didn't really give any information. There wasn't a lot of confidence that, like, why did they actually put this out? So now we're at the point where it's almost like they operate in a crystal clear box where you know exactly what they're thinking all the time. And Kevin Warsh thinks that maybe causes some problems, and so he's going to want to try to walk that back a little bit.
Sidebar, but you were talking about if they start to broadcast where they think they're headed, do you then feel like you have to continue down that path and almost talk yourself into a box? I've experienced this with individual investors on occasion where, you know, they've managing their own investments and select some investments, some stocks in particular, and they may stay on board with that stock until they are right. You know, so maybe the thesis wasn't exactly right, and the ability to pivot and say, well, because of the facts and circumstances, and maybe they changed, or maybe I just misinterpreted or what have you, no longer are the characteristics that would have led me to buy this stock, but we're going to continue to hold it until I'm right, or until I am vindicated, if you will.
Sure.
So, you know, when you talk about the psychology of the investor, I think that component right there, I'm paralleling this to the Fed. Of course, that's a reach on my part, but
I think you're spot on. That is one of his critiques, right? You do get that confirmation bias, right? So you have an idea, and then you look for confirming evidence, and you downgrade things that disconfirm it. Investors do that all the time, and I think the Fed maybe does it as well. That's why some of them have a reputation as a hawk or a dove, and they feel like they have to maintain that reputation. Or when they look at the data, they're not really doing it holistically or objectively. usually they're kind of, you know, just cherry picking what they want to see that confirms their view. Then you also have what's sometimes called that endowment effect. And you see that with stocks all the time, where somebody buys it, then they become almost like emotionally attached to it. By selling it, they think that, gosh, I was wrong. And nobody wants to be wrong. That's why one of the things that we always talk about on the investment committee, and we try to implement through a very objective process, is to have that sell discipline, right? At what point do you actually sell something that you thought was a good idea? Because nobody wants to be wrong, but I think it's healthy to recognize when you're wrong. A good friend of mine, he once said that really successful people aren't right all the time, but they are very quick to recognize when they're wrong.
I like that. You know, one of the things I enjoy about doing this segment, by the way, you just translated something that I've experienced in kind of client interactions, and you have a term for it, confirmation bias. So I learn these terms, and then I can go back and apply that mentally to the framework that I've maybe came up with along the way.
And plus, that way you can ask ChatGPT to explain it in further detail and find different applications. And you're going to see it pops up all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's just talk a little bit about direction of the Fed. What are our senses, you know, in terms of maybe policy changes? What are they broadcasting?
Yeah, they're in a little bit of a pickle right now in terms of what's been going on with the economic data. You know, this past week, we got the retail sales numbers, which were surprisingly strong, but it was actually superficially strong because a good chunk of it was just an increase in gasoline sales, right? When we compare it to a year ago, just think about where gas prices have gone. So a lot of the increase in retail sales, people have been postponing making new car purchases, maybe washer, dryer, furniture purchases to have money set aside to fill up the gas tank. So retail sales, it was surprisingly high, but superficially strong. I would say fundamental, a little bit of weakness there. But then we got the inflation numbers, both consumer price index and then the producer price index. So on the consumer side, obviously it's what are consumers paying. Producers, it's what are they paying? And you can see the buildup of the inflationary pressure there. A key question is when do gas prices fall? And that's above our pay grade.
And if retirement is getting closer or you're a few years in, there might be a few things you have questions about. How are these latest headlines affecting what you have worked hard for? Maybe there's something you don't need. Are you paying too much for something? Maybe it feels like you have too many accounts and you want to feel more organized. Click the Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. When you're thinking about retirement, doesn't spend the same every year. It follows kind of a smile shape, front-loaded, fun. When you first get into that retirement age or that retirement year, a quieter middle and higher costs maybe occur later on, such as long-term care. That's why planning for retirement is about timing and not just totals and ups and downs. Sometimes life happens. Good thing financial planning specialist Arabella Perrins is here. Thanks for being on the show again, Arabella.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
You've talked about this a lot, the retirement smile, and that is really just the shape of a smile. So the first year is sort of that uptick, and then it kind of goes down a little bit.
Right.
You're figuring out how things work, how all the puzzle pieces fit together, and then maybe you might need things like long-term care or health issues arise as you get older.
Right. We call this the go-go, slow-go, and no-go year. So kind of dividing your retirement spending into three different periods over time. So during these go-go years, you're excited to be retired. You're traveling more, you're eating out quite a bit, and you're just doing all the fun stuff that you've been excited to do moving into retirement. You're not working anymore. And so your expenses tend to be relatively higher than at other points during your retirement. Some people are surprised that when they move into those retirement years from working, that their expenses actually go up from what they were while they were still working. It's something to be aware of.
And which part of the retirement smile do you think most people underestimate when they're planning? Because the first year you're thinking, hey, I got all this money, let's go on a lot of trips. Or maybe it's the end, the other side of the smile, when you need things like long-term care or you need extra help with your health.
Yeah, I think people just underestimate how it changes over time. Sometimes people think that spending during your retirement is always going to be the same once you settle into those patterns. When you're doing the go-go years, you're excited and you think that you're always going to be traveling and living life as much as you are. However, we do find that during the slow-go years, you start to slow down. Your spending tends to decrease, not going out, not traveling as much. You maybe are spending more time volunteering or spending time in your community that doesn't have as many expenses associated with these activities. And so your spending may not be the same as it used to be when you were in those fun go-go years. Those years also don't last forever. And once you start going into what we call the no-go years, where your healthcare expenses tend to be driven up in those later years of your life, that's where the expenses will rise again. And it's very important to start planning around your expenses with long-term care health events.
And don't get us wrong, we want you to enjoy what you've worked hard for, but that's when it comes into play where what kind of lifestyle do you want to lead? How does knowing about that retirement smile change the way someone should think about withdrawals maybe early in retirement?
Yeah, it's just knowing that you may need to have flexibility over time. You're not always going to be in the exact same life stage. Your wants and needs and spending habits aren't always going to be the same. Maintaining that flexibility within your financial plan, making those tax smart and planning ahead moves will be helpful for having that eventual flexibility when your spending may decrease or increase throughout these different stages of your life. So really, it's about while you're still working, saving up enough. And when you're freshly retired, there's a lot of planning that you can do to help you maintain that flexibility, not even in just the amounts that you have saved, but also which tax bucket your funds are in. Maybe you should be doing Roth conversions or other strategies to help you maintain that flexibility over your lifetime.
As healthcare costs continue to rise as you get older in retirement, how does that factor into the back end of the retirement smile? How early should people start planning for something like that?
Well, I always say that no plan is a plan, just not a good one. So when it comes to those long-term care expenses or just even increased healthcare expenses as you age, really it comes down to thinking ahead and creating a plan about it. So maybe that involves the use of long-term care insurance if you want to mitigate some of that risk of having very large long-term care expenses. Maybe it involves knowing and planning around self-insuring in that you have saved up enough, you have funds set aside so that if you have higher health care needs, you're able to pay that yourself. And there's a variety of different ways that you can look at that and plan around that. We help plenty of our clients with that. Not only just seling insurance or looking at that, but we're also looking at what are the different ways that we can start to think about it, self-funding, maybe the use of certain products or other planning areas for those healthcare expenses.
Gaining that knowledge. We love education here. The first step might be to click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com. If you're in retirement or retirement's getting closer, it's never too early to talk to somebody, maybe look at some mock projections, then somebody who's seen the retirement smile quite a bit. Arabella Parents, financial planning specialist. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thank you.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
More in-person events this past week, so thank you if you've joined us. We always love to see you in person. Love to see your questions, too, with our live webinars. Had a lot of those this past week. You can always watch past webinars at annexwealth.com and get caught up. In-person events still on the way this month. We're covering when life changes, how women can financially prepare for the unexpected, and next-level travel, security planning, and dream building. A Women in Wealth live event, Saving the Family Cottage. We'd love to see you in person. Click events at the top of the page, annexwealth.com. That is going to set up your reminder and reserve your spot. And on the show today, Director of Financial Planning, Eric Strom. Hey, Eric.
Hello, Joe.
And Chief Economic Strategist, as always, Dr. Brian Jacobson is here.
Yes, hello. Thank you. Eric, in continuing our conversation about Trump accounts, since those are coming up as far as, you know, the July 4th, I think, is officially when they launch. Isn't that when they can
That's
be funded?
Right. Yeah.
Can you set up a Trump account right now, even if you can't fund it?
Yes, you can do that along with your income tax return, or you can go to the official website online and you can easily set it up there.
Oh, that's convenient. Now, there's still a lot of unknowns related to these. You can't fund them necessarily right away, and maybe that's a good thing because there are still some questions that we have. You highlighted to me how the CFP board, Certified Financial Planning Board, they actually had a list of questions. I was thinking we could go through that as far as what maybe some of those unknowns are.
Yeah, CFP board has sent a letter to the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, asking for more clarity on some important issues because July is right around the corner here.
Yeah.
And one of the first things is there was investment specifications with Trump accounts that they needed to be broad index funds, and we had certain clarifications. But at this moment, we need more specifics about which investments are allowed and what cost of those investments will be allowed within Trump accounts, because there are many points of unclarity at the moment.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a good reminder as well for any investment. You know, we obviously firmly believe in know what you own, know why you own it, and know how much you're paying for it. There can be investments that say that they track the U.S. markets, but vary in how they do it and how much they cost. And
absolutely,
so that's probably a clarification they need here.
Yeah. And another big clarification is right now, it's assumed that financial advisors will be able to help clients with the investments within the Trump account, but it's very unclear if advisors are going to be held to a fiduciary standard or not. With different types of accounts, there are different rules about how financial advisors can work with them. And right now, we don't know those rules for Trump accounts. That's very important.
Well, yeah, I suppose, because I've heard that these are kind of like IRAs, right? Individual retirement accounts. Not exactly, but you know, those have a certain set of fiduciary standards from like the Department of Labor and the Securities Exchange Commission. And will this be subject to similar rules or not?
Yeah, that needs to be cleared. Now, another big point to clear up is there is a special type of tax that's not income tax. It's called gift and estate tax. Sometimes in the news, you'll hear it called death taxes, right? Now, it's not only death tax, but actually there is a type of tax within that called gift tax. So if I give too much money to another person, I can be subject to the same tax as if, you know, I were to pass away as well. And so it's important to know that right now for Trump accounts, it is very unclear how contributions from parents will be treated for gift tax purposes. And that is something that we absolutely need to know.
Yeah, within the tax code, isn't that something about like the unified gift and estate tax exemption? Is that what it might implicate?
That's right. Exactly. And we need to know how Trump accounts interact with that, because in many cases, we're trying to help clients with that, with planning, thoughtful planning around that area. And we need to know if Trump accounts are a tool or not for that.
Well, and I suppose also with planning, we're going to need to know how does this affect like eligibility for financial aid and things like that as well.
Yep. Early withdrawal penalties. There are a number of areas within these Trump accounts that we need to get more clarity on. And it's an exciting time. Hopefully we'll be getting that clarity soon.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client, and Annex Ignite. 9 total locations this week. Women in Wealth live in person when life changes. How women can financially prepare for the unexpected. So this is Thursday, May 21st, 6 to 8 p.m. at our Brookfield headquarters. The loss of a partner, divorce, health crisis. When that happens, what do you do? This workshop can help you be prepared and be more informed. So click events, reserve your spot at Annex Wealth.com. Glad you're with us this morning. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Our new Women in Wealth page is up at annexwealth.com, including the new Women in Wealth podcast with special guests and strategies to empower women and gain greater confidence. It's a great story this week on money lessons we learned from moms, celebrating moms and finance all this month for Mother's Day month. Director of Financial Planning, Eric Strom, is here, and Chief Economic Strategist, Dr. Brian Jacobson.
Yes, hello. Well, thank you. Eric, I want to get your take on something that I've been reading a lot about lately, which are these Trump accounts. Obviously, a lot of unknowns related to them, but one of the things that has been floated out there has been this idea about donating appreciated stock into these Trump accounts. Can you maybe start level set? What are the Trump accounts and what are they designed to do? And then maybe we can kind of go from there.
Yes. So Trump accounts are a brand new type of tax advantage account that is really about to become reality in July of this year. So imminently. And they're really designed to, you know, help children start participating in the public stocks in the American economy. I'm excited. I've got two daughters and I'm excited for them to learn a little bit more about investing and to have an account there that they can look on and, you know, understand. And so it's a great way just to start getting participation in young children in really the economy.
Yeah, well, and I think that was one of the great motivations, and it's been in the works for decades, the idea of like more of a shareholder economy where you get kids who are invested a little bit earlier, start that kind of those little habits early on in life. Now, in terms of some of the things that we've been hearing about lately, it's been about possibly donating appreciated stock. Can you kind of walk through theoretically what would that look like and what might the tax implications be if that did go through?
Yes. And to be clear, it is certainly not a foregone conclusion. This is going to happen. There's just serious discussion that it may. So many investors find themselves with, in many cases, significant appreciated stocks in their portfolio, right? And so we do have to give the context that this is for investments that are not in an IRA or a 401k or any kind of protective wrapper, if you will, but money that you have in what we call taxable investment accounts, like your revocable trust or a brokerage account, joint account, that type of thing. If you've got appreciated stocks, so stocks that have gone up in value, if you were to simply sell them, you'll pay capital gains tax on that. However, there are tools in our toolkit as financial planners that we can help reduce or even eliminate, in many cases, the tax on these types of capital gains. Now, if this were to be allowed, then you could have another tool in the toolbox where we'd be able to donate these appreciated stocks, not receiving a charitable deduction, almost certainly, because this would be
going to your child.
To your child, exactly. And so when you donate those appreciated stocks, then it would eliminate that tax. You would not receive a deduction, but you would get that transferred without paying tax. So it's very tax efficient.
Oh, interesting. So like an alternative, I oftentimes hear about donating appreciated stock into like donating it to a charity, like a 501c3 or donor advised funds. And that's a very tax efficient way oftentimes to get rid of that. And you get the charitable deduction,
right? Oh, of course.
Right?
Yeah. Churches or other nonprofits typically have brokerage accounts sitting there waiting for these types of gifts. Please, we would love to accept your stock gifts. The charities do. So yes, it's very common to donate appreciated stocks directly to a charity or using the classic donor advised fund, which of course we use frequently. But yes, this would be sort of a complementary approach that maybe you have both options at your fingertips. One thing though I want to mention is that experts are saying that it's unclear whether we might need to modify the code section, which is called 530A, which created Trump accounts in order to allow this, or is Treasury guidance going to be enough alone? We don't know yet.
Sure, because I always thought originally it was about getting a broadly diversified portfolio in those accounts. And if you're putting a single stock in there, you get a little concentration risk then.
Having someone ready to answer your questions, like on Trump accounts, can make all the difference. You get a form or a statement in the mail, it's confusing or gives you a little uncertainty, or you see or hear about something you'd like to pursue. We're here at Annex Wealth Management. First step is to click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, saving can feel overwhelming, a little bit of a daunting task, depending on how you want to save, especially with so many different accounts and rules to navigate. The good news is that we each have savings vehicles, and they all serve a specific purpose, and knowing where to save is just as important as how much you save. So we're going to talk through the main options and how they may work together to support your short-term needs, long-term goals, and legacy plans, depending on where you're at. And to help us do that, she's seen a lot of it. Financial planning specialist Rebecca Posig is back on the show. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. Thanks for being here. Let's talk about the first steps of savings. So do you have a cash cushion? Maybe this is something that people need to think about to handle unexpected expenses without using a credit card.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of the fundamentals of financial planning, especially when someone is just starting out. It's so important to get that emergency fund established and growing. We like to see 6 months to a year of your fixed expenses as your emergency fund, your rainy day, something happened and I need cash now fund. And that high interest rate, like credit card debt, that can really bog down a financial plan.
Okay, on to the 401k. Maybe you started a new job. Maybe you've had several new jobs over the past decade, let's say, 5-10 years. Are you taking full advantage of your employer's 401k match?
Yeah, and whether you're just starting out or approaching the end of your career, 401ks are such a great way to save for retirement, especially because it's convenient. You can set it up so that the contribution automatically comes out of your paycheck. You just set it up once and it's taken care of for you. How much a person should contribute, that of course depends on their unique circumstances, but we practically always recommend contributing at least enough to get that company match you were talking about. So that's when employers will put in a percentage if you also put in at least that percentage. So you contribute at least 3%, they'll put in 3%. If you put in 4%, they'll still only put in 3%, but you saved some extra dollars, so gold star for you. And that match, that's like free money, so it's a great place to start with the 401k. And after that, there are limits to how much you can contribute. Those change depending on your age. And kind of a newer thing, if you're age 60 to 63, you may be able to contribute more than anyone else. So that's a nice little perk as you're nearing retirement.
Think about where you're at age-wise, and you might be able to make some adjustments with the 401k. On to the HSA, the health savings account. Are you eligible for an HSA through a high deductible health plan?
Yeah, here at Annex, we're big fans of health savings accounts because they offer three, not two, but three potential tax benefits. And there aren't really other accounts that do that. So when you contribute, the contributions reduce your taxable income. Then for all those years that the contributions are invested and growing, the earnings aren't being taxed. And when you go to pull out the funds, they aren't taxed even then if you use them for qualified medical expenses. And since HSAs are such a powerful tool, while you're contributing, it can be really helpful to try to pay for those smaller little medical expenses out of pocket. And then you keep the majority of your funds inside the HSA to grow over a longer period of time.
And sometimes these are situations that people forget about. So you probably had some eye-opening moments with clients, or you've seen clients take advantage of these things sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of times we'll be looking through the tax return and we'll see that someone has made almost the maximum contribution, yet they had expenses that were almost that same amount. And then you're not really getting that benefit of the tax-deferred growth of the earnings.
On to the 529 plans. Is there someone in your life you'd like to help with future education costs? Because that can be expensive.
Oh, 100%. And Joe, 529 plans are one of my favorite topics because they are such a great way to leave a legacy for the next generation. Whether you're a parent, grandparent, relative, whoever, you can set one of these up for a child in your life. You contribute to it, you can invest it, you can let it grow. And the funds can be used tax-free for those qualified education expenses. It's not just college expenses anymore. There's a whole laundry list of how the funds can be used now. So, Joe, I have a question for you. What do they say on airplanes when they're talking about oxygen masks?
Oh, take care of yourself first, right?
Exactly. You have to put on your own mask before you help your children or those around you. It's the same thing with 529 plans. It's so important to make sure that your own retirement is funded, that your own financial plan is on track before you start saving for your kids' education. There are loans for education, but there aren't loans for retirement. So it's not just about the numbers and the taxes and all those things. It's about what you want your money to do for you and where you can save to make that happen.
Click that Get Started button at AnnexWealth.com. She is part of the financial planning team, financial planning specialist Rebecca Posey. Great stuff as always. Thanks for being on the show again.
Thanks, Joe.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Go to AnnexWealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite, Annex Comprehensive Wealth, Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, glad you found us. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This is also a podcast on demand. As soon as the show is over, you can download it at the top of the hour. The Axiom, that is our newsletter, by the way, with our week in review video from this show in your email on Sunday mornings. Just search Annex Axiom. That's an easy way to be reminded about our weekly content and things we're watching that probably relate to your situation. Other podcast too, like The Wealthiest. That's ideas, strategies, and decisions of the wealthy in America. Some people you might know on that with some special guests. The SWOT podcast, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats of the current market with a new episode first thing Monday morning. And the new Women in Wealth podcast featuring special guests through genuine conversation. Joining us on the show, Senior Wealth Advisor Anthony Belochnik. Hey, Anthony.
Thanks for having me.
And Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson.
Yes, graduation is kind of in the air. It seems like a lot of colleges are having graduations. I think high school graduations are just a few weeks away. And it got me thinking about name, image, and likeness with all of the sports going on. Anthony, you have a lot of experience in the sports area, and I was hoping that you could maybe shed some light on this concept in financial planning around NIL. Can you first maybe define what it is and how it works?
NIL is name, image, and likeness. I was fortunate enough to play basketball at a high level for Bo Ellis at Chicago State long time ago now. I wish NIL was there when I played, but it was not. I was fortunate enough to graduate with an undergrad and then go on and get my master's. But as you think about using basketball as a tool or using a sport as a tool to really open your network, meet new people, receive financial education, maybe earn a scholarship, it's very important. And really, I came to a crossroads of, do I go and pursue my career in finance? Do I focus on maybe going playing professional basketball, which I had an opportunity? And then I also looked at, do I jump into college coaching and maybe do that? And so when you think about my role here at Annex now, it is really kind of coaching, but using finance as the background and not necessarily a sport. So NIL, kind of taking it back full circle, NIL is name, image, and likeness, using your platform while you have it, while you're young, to potentially earn some income from what you do and the art that you have in the sport that you're playing.
So is that really how it works? Is that if you have a social media platform, or if you can maybe do commercials, do colleges, do they pay the athletes now? How does it work?
All of the above.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's come a long way. It does start with colleges have what they call guaranteed money or a revenue share. It is important for athletes to understand the difference between guarantee and rev share. Guarantee is better. Revenue share is based on ticket sales and maybe jerseys and apparel and those type of things that then come later, you know, in the year. So guaranteed money, if you're doing it right, you're getting paid monthly by the college. And it does depend on the sport, you know, whether it's basketball, football, volleyball, soccer, you name it, they all have it. And yeah, there's both. And then in addition to receiving money from the college aside, you can also receive money through doing different types of Instagram or Twitter. You can go be an ambassador to a specific brand and get paid for your name, image, and likeness as well.
Oh, and that's a complete change from how things were just a few years ago, where it seemed like the only ones who were making money off of the college sports were maybe the sports programs at the colleges.
That is true. And now a lot of the things that we talk about is trying to simplify. Even some of our most sophisticated clients in our Annex Private Client appreciate the simplification and kind of boiling down a pretty complex topic when you're talking about investments and tax and estate. Mm-hmm. And so being involved with professional athletes and working with, you know, individuals that have NIL, it does really require kind of taking a step back and trying to take something that's incredibly complex and make it simple to understand. What I always encourage young people that are coming into a lot of money at 16, 17, 18 years old to start with financial planning and to begin to understand and have your family get educated through the process.
Yeah. Can you walk us through that as far as your approach to working through that? I mean, you say 16 and 17. I mean, that's high school. That's not even in college yet.
You have to start by getting your ducks in a row, understand which state you're in, what are the rules with the colleges that you're looking at, making sure that you have a legal team that can review your documents to understand if it is guaranteed versus revenue share, making sure that you have guidance from professionals like Annex on the tax investments, a basic tax structure. So something like a disregarded entity is something that we talk about. It's not for everybody to set up an LLC, but depending on the income that you're creating, it may make sense to treat yourself as a business owner, as a business.
Oh.
And so you can begin to think about the income and expenses, and then how do you keep more of what you earn through the NIL, which NIL is a business of you, right, of the athlete. So theoretically, in some cases, you can start to think about managing some expenses that might offset the income. Because that is important also for NIL, is that is typically not paid as W-2, so you're not getting withholding on that. So by the end of the year, if you made $1 million in NIL, it can come as a big surprise, like, oh, wait, what? I have to pay taxes on this?
And, oh, yeah, that would be a huge shock, especially you have not just income tax, but probably the self-employment tax, right? We always see it as far as those withholdings for Social Security, so you probably have to budget for that yourself. It sounds like a lot of complications there, and it's good to have a fiduciary on your side who's been through this not just once or twice, but has put in the reps, right? It's just like with any sport. We put in our reps here.
Put in your reps.
Great stuff. Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. The podcast is ready right now on the radio station website, or just search Annex Money Talk. For Anthony Malachnik and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Joe Krause. Have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.